Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally, as we approach 7 o'clock on this Thursday evening, markets and company news, I'm joined by Simon Brown from Just One Lap. Simon, let's start with the overall picture. Resources and particularly industrials under some pressure on the JSE today.
Evening, Jeremy. Yeah, the resources kind of make some sense. We've got the rand slightly stronger, a little bit. In fact, sort of 18, 10-ish, 11-ish. Gold under pressure, below 3,200. So, of course, the high-flying stocks have really come. The gold miners are under pressure, although they've been selling off a bit already. So this is more a continuation of that. Industrials really been let down by Process and Aspis, which are the two giants in that particular index, and they've had a very strong run recently. 10-cent results early in the week certainly helped, and I think that's taking some shine off that particular index as well.
Simon, you were asking the question on your MoneyWeb Now podcast about whether Sasol is a share to buy at the moment. I'm looking at the price right now. It's down by over 5% today. What's your thinking, and genuinely, what is your view on this?
My first thinking is that the market hates me, but aside from that, I think there's a couple of things for Sasol. You know what really caught my attention, Jeremy, was last week when Brent oil went below $60, which is really bad news for Sasol, and the Sasol share price didn't respond. And that tells me a little bit around the psychology of the market, is that people who hold Sasol and are unhappy holders are now mostly out. They can't take the pain anymore. They've exited the position. Those who are in are saying, you know what, in the immediate, oil's not a problem. We're looking at, you know, a year or so ahead. I think there's a couple of other things. Capital Markets Day on Tuesday next week. This is going to be a biggie for them. I think a lot of the bad news is already known, and so the hope is maybe they can actually bring some good news, particularly maybe around some disinvestments and the like. And then from a pure technical perspective, daily and weekly charts both looking like it's sort of lifting its head. It has been a huge favorite amongst the Twitter class, if we can call them that. But I suspect many have probably got tired of it. But it is still, I mean, by basic metrics, this is a very cheap stock. Of course, people look at the sector it's in, the industry it's in, the challenges with pollution and the like, and raise concerns. But it's almost priced for bankruptcy, and it's not going bankrupt.
Simon, let's move on to the Public Investment Corporation announcing today that it has a new chief executive officer, and maybe a good starting point here. Just explain to us again what the Public Investment Corporation is, how the size of assets under management is astonishing, and why this is an important appointment.
Yeah, it is the biggest asset manager in South Africa by a long way. Over 2 trillion rand of assets, which is probably a third or a quarter of the entire JSE. Of course, a lot of those are actually in government bonds, so not a completely fair reflection in that regard. And they manage money on behalf of the Government Employees Pension Fund, and then at the same time, they also do it for the Unemployment Insurance Fund. So they really are managing government staff, and then the Unemployment Insurance Fund, which is any South African who loses a job and can then claim the UIF.
So the new man in charge is Patrick Dlamini, and where does he start? I mean, I'm reading today that he's been mandated to clean up the unlisted portfolio, which has courted controversy. As you say, it's a big job, a sought-after role, I guess, in South Africa's investment landscape. Where does he start here? I guess the issue is just the cleanup, right?
I think it is a cleanup. They've got a giant portfolio. On the JSE, there are significant shareholders in most of the sort of large stocks. They can't go into small caps because they're just too small. But I think, interestingly, he comes from the Development Bank of Southern Africa, where he left, was it 2, maybe 3 years ago? He was widely lauded for that particular position. He grew their asset base to sort of doubling it up to 100 billion rand. And importantly, the Development Bank of Southern Africa, those are going to be unlisted assets. And that's exactly what's needed at the PRC. Most of their assets are listed, bonds or equities. but there is a significant portion that is unlisted, and there's certainly been some disasters in that regard. And I think that really is going to be his focus and his skill set. Not to say he hasn't got skill sets in, you know, investment generally, but I think that unlisted, I think that is really going to be where he's going to sort of clean things up. And perhaps put better processes in place. Look going forward in terms of not just exiting bad ones now, but when they do invest into new ones in the future.
Simon, there was a trading update from Barlow's out today. The group expecting headline earnings per share ending March to be 22. Let's call it 23% lower, and it's blaming its Russian unit. Give us the background on that.
Yeah, so they've had this Russian unit for a very long time. And then, of course, the invasion of Ukraine by Russia back in, what was it, February 2022, some 3 years ago, meant just sanctions. No one wants to particularly be seen to be working with Russian businesses. We've seen Mondi exit theirs and many other companies as well. They haven't exited. Their plan was to keep it. They might have breached sanctions. They've sort of self-reported to U.S. authorities, but it is hurting, and it's hurting simply because of that point, which is, there might be legitimate ways of dealing with Russian businesses, but a lot of global companies are saying, well, sure, but can't we get the same elsewhere and not have that taint? And that is absolutely hurting.
And a different picture, though, for PPC, the cement manufacturer. And all of this is due to a radical cost-cutting and turnaround plan. And it's talking about an expectation of higher earnings.
Yeah, they're looking for, from continuing operations, headline earnings around 37% to 41% higher, and somewhat 19%. And it is, for them, new management's come in. They're also going to be upgrading some of their Western Cape plants. Many of their plants are 30, 40 years old. Highly inefficient, particularly in terms of electricity. We know what that is. That's huge costs. But even just more broadly, that process will take through to next year. But a lot of other costs within the system, and also responding to lower demand and for cement at the moment. We're not doing much major capital projects happening, so less demand. So they're saying, well, let's sort of, cut our cloth to the size of the market. And when and if that market grows, we can come back and respond accordingly.
Talking of cement, though, a very different story for the smaller company, Afrimat.
Yeah, a lot of moving parts here. A few challenges. I mean, we knew that it was going to be tough with the Lafarge acquisition. They've got a lot more debt, so that this debt servicing costs are costing a lot more. They've got Lafarge on track, but now they've got to ramp it up. Part of that ramping up means a lot of inventories, so inventories are a whole lot higher, and then just a lot of other moving parts that seem to have not gone well for the group. And I got to say, in all the years that I've been watching them, this is probably the first, if we could almost call it a stumble by them. I don't think it's going to be fatal. I think that Andreas van Heerden and his team can certainly manage it, but they need to sort of get the ship steady and start getting some positive cash flow again. The market hasn't responded too badly. We had a trading update towards the end of April, a couple of weeks ago. Stocks off a little bit, but I think the market is saying two things. Firstly, we know the Lafarge story and the implications of that, and huge trust in the team at Afrimat.
And Simon, finally, I always battle to take seriously a company that has five O's at the end of its name, but nonetheless, though, let me not be the judge. Cartrack, we know the brand, its parent company, Karoo, posting profit of, I think, 25-26%.
Yeah, a really good set of numbers from them. And I chat with Zach Callisto quite regularly on my show. And what we've seen, I think there's two things here. All CEOs talk a good story. I mean, of course they do. And some deliver. And this is one case where over the years, what they've talked about, what they've promised has really come to fruition. And I think the second part that really struck me is they're NASDAQ listed. So they actually do quarterly reporting. This was for the full year ending February, but it also was for the fourth quarter. And what we can see is progression and improvement across each of those four quarters. In other words, a good set of numbers, but I think they've got momentum into the future as well.
Simon Brown, we'll talk next week from Just One Lap. I appreciate your time tonight.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.